Hello and welcome back to Module 2 of this Microsoft Virtual Academy course, looking at public cloud and the role IT professionals play from a legal perspective, from understanding and where do they actually consider the components from a privacy perspective, a security perspective, moving to public cloud. We're now going to look at Module 2 around data protection legislation. Maybe Theo, you can give us an intro into data protection legislation and set the context for the overview that we'll get into now.
Sure. Morgan, I think one of the difficulties that we have when it comes to data protection legislation is the fact that all around the world, countries are setting up their own very special legislation. They have reviewed it, they're looking at it, and some countries, in fact, are not even doing that. So all around the world, we find that there is a disparate arrangement around data legislation. This is the difficulty that we have. Now, a lot of countries have started to move into a scenario that they've got data protection legislation in place. South Africa, for example, has just most recently enacted what we refer to as POPI, which is the Protection of Personal Information Act. And we're starting to find that there are common themes and standards that are slowly but surely starting to evolve and develop around the world, which is really good for when it comes to cloud.
Yes.
Ultimately, we want to find that we can engage from a commercial perspective with any country, and that there is at least similar legislation protecting our personal information as we move across the world.
So if we've gone from Module 1, understanding privacy, understanding control of your personal information, if we move into this Module 2 now and we start to look at the different components, this should start to give a basic understanding for the IT professional, for the executive, that you know what privacy is, you know you need to control it. What am I bound by, whether it be in my own country, whether it be in a different country? What are the key themes? Now, we're not going to make a country specific, but to understand that whole golden idea around data protection legislation. So let's go across to the slides, have a quick overview of this module, and then we'll come back and step through those different components to make up this module. So if we look at the module overview, we're going to discuss this golden thread of privacy slash data protection legislation. What is that about, and what is the key component that sits inside of that description? And then what is at the heart of data protection? So you've mentioned a few minutes ago the protection of personal information. That little key nugget, personal information, what really is that and how do we relate that back to current plus the move to cloud? And then what does the data protection law require for compliant processing of personal information? What is the makeup of that? And the last piece to kind of resonate back to close off this module, what are the legislations around the world that we could probably discuss and talk about and give us a view of, if depending where you are around the world, what are the key aspects you need to take away from this course to understand locally in your country or where your business operates, what are those key legislations around the world? So if we take the first point around this golden thread, maybe give us a bit of a view of what is this golden thread around privacy slash data protection legislation?
Sure. So I think ultimately it's the principle that requires that a data subject, you or me, ultimately our personal information, our private information, needs to be treated as valuable and therefore as confidential by those parties that receive it. And that when those parties receive it, they are not allowed to use that personal or private information for anything beyond the primary purpose for which it was originally given to them.
And would that like be down to the contract perspective of you signing a contract with someone? Your agreement is that data will be used for X, Y, and Z.
Absolutely. And I think as perhaps a best sort of practice example, we can look at a marketing department. Marketing department loves to be able to contact people. So I often give the example that where I'm a vacuum cleaner salesman and I collect your personal information, ultimately I've got to be able to show and demonstrate that I'm only going to use your personal information for the reason that I collected it, which is to sell you more vacuum cleaners. I cannot go and take your personal information, pass it on to a third-party data broker, and say, there, use Theo's information. Go and call him to contact him about anything, including refrigerator sales.
Yes.
That is what we don't want. We want to be sure that when I give my information over to a third party, ultimately they are going to use it for one simple reason, and that is the reason for which it was collected. That is ultimately what we're driving at and trying to create a control mechanism around when it comes to data protection legislation.
And so you mentioned personal information, that being kind of the core, the heart of data protection legislation. Does it vary from country to country around the world? Or what is the theme around that, that an IT professional possibly working in one country, his business or data sits in another one, that personal information, what is the key area he needs to understand about that?
Sure. So, I mean, this is about the definition of personal information. You can appreciate that if we don't have a consistent definition of personal information, it gets difficult to understand what it is precisely that we're protecting. So ultimately, data protection legislation revolves around the definition of personal information. Now, I can give you a basic example, and it's fairly complex. The reality is that there are some regions, some jurisdictions that have got absolutely no problem in identifying an IP address as being personal information. There are other countries, other jurisdictions, which then turn around and do not recognize an IP address as being personal information.
Right.
And this is where we start having the difficulty. And again, in a course such as of this nature, it's going to be really difficult to drill down into that degree of detail. But it is ultimately going to be up to the individual, the IT pro, the business executive, to ensure that they understand in fine detail what personal information is defined as in their local jurisdiction.
Yes.
So at the high level, we all need to know that this is about personal information, but as we drill down into the specific region, location, jurisdiction in which you find yourself, you're going to have to do the homework to determine very specifically what is defined as personal information.
And once that's worked out or calculated and the IT pro, the business as a whole, is happy with what they identify as personal information, then we start to look at the how is this data processed? How is it used? Where is it stored? So all of a sudden, we again need to relate that back to your local legislation. So what are you required to abide by for processing or using that data out in a private or a public environment? Now traditionally, because you've been a private environment possibly, you weren't too concerned about the processing because you had full control over the perimeters of where that data sat or that personal information sat. Now as we stretch across to this public cloud or this new world of going to public cloud, my data is starting to move. My control is becoming a lot less. I have less control over that. Now, when I enter into an agreement with a public cloud provider, what does my local legislation say I have to abide by to process that data? Now, if we take that example of the data, the personal information, we stretch it across to countries, do you have some examples of regions around the world which have legislation in place for this? So we've seen there's some that don't have legislation, but for those that do, can you walk us through a couple of popular ones or most common ones where the public cloud providers?
Sure. So it's a good question to sort of understand whether or not there are any specific or general conditions or requirements for the lawful processing of personal information. What I've gone and done is a little bit of homework to try and set out the basics, the general, that we're starting to see constitute the conditions for lawful processing of personal information across the world. So if we can start, the first condition is normally that any personal information has to be processed lawfully and fairly. So what does this mean? That simply means that this is a broad requirement that any individual who is receiving personal information has to act lawfully. The second one is ultimately that personal information that is obtained can only be used for a specific lawful purpose. Now, in the previous example, I gave you the vacuum cleaner salesman, and ultimately, if he's collecting information to market further vacuum clean sales, that information can only be used for marketing vacuum cleaner sales.
Yes.
No refrigerator sales. Thirdly, personal data that is collected has to be adequate, relevant, and not excessive. Falling back to the vacuum cleaner salesman example. He doesn't need my passport number. He might need my email address.
Yes.
Ultimately, the legislation is saying that he needs to collect only what is necessary for what it is that he is going to do. Fourthly, personal data should only be used in a manner where it is accurate, where it is necessary, and it must be kept up to date. What we don't want to find is that there is no communication essentially happening after the personal information is collected. We want to be able to say, hey, I've checked up with Theo, and his email address is still his at Microsoft address. Fifthly, personal data can only be processed for the purpose for which it was collected, and it cannot be kept longer than for the necessary purpose for which it was collected. So, again, within the vacuum cleaner salesman example, let's pretend that there is a particular range of vacuum cleaners, and those vacuum cleaners are going to be out of date within 4 to 5 years. That means you're only going to market to me for 4 or 5 years. After that, you need to delete my information because you're not going to need it.
Okay.
Sixthly, the rights of individuals, so personal data that has to be processed, okay, must be done with all the rights of the data subject in mind. So ultimately, again, you see that it is me as the individual and my personal information that sits at the core of this legislation. Seventhly, and this is probably the most important thing that I can sort of raise and discuss at this, because we're going to delve into it in later modules. Appropriate technical and organizational measures have to be taken to prevent unauthorized and unlawful processing. And we're going to delve into some security, and we're going to delve into aspects around this particular issue in later modules. So I'm going to just repeat this, because I think it's worth repeating, and it's important that people understand that this particular piece of legislation that we're seeing across the world, which means that, again, you have to, as an organization, take appropriate technical and operational measures to guard against unauthorized and unlawful processing of personal information.
And that's the example you're giving on vacuum cleaners now. You've taken my details as a vacuum cleaner salesman. You have contacted me backwards and forwards for new models, whatever it may be, and you have my data. If I want to unsubscribe from you as the vacuum cleaner salesman, I should have the flexibility to be able to control you contacting me, control what is happening with my data, take me off your database. I no longer want to have the next version of the vacuum cleaner. And I also want to ensure that I can decide when I want to communicate with you. So we have to put those technical measures in place as well to give that flexibility to give control back to the individual.
Absolutely, and you can take that even further under this particular requirement. Appreciate that that particular vacuum clean salesman might be collecting my data. He could be putting it onto an email and sending that email back to his data center to collect that. Or he could be collecting it on a piece of paper.
Yes.
We want to ensure that whether it is going to be an electronic collection or whether it's going to be a physical paper collection, that ultimately that document, whether it is an email form or paper form, is regarded as absolutely critically valuable.
Yes.
And treated as such.
Yes.
What we don't want is to see that piece of paper just being left lying around on the desk somewhere, or that email being sent out to people that are outside the salesman's organization. That is about putting in the appropriate operational and potentially technical measures. You want to be able to lock up the piece of paper. You want to have encryption around the email that is sending that information to your data collector. That is the concept that we're playing with when it comes to this particular requirement. And as I said, this is perhaps the most fundamental requirement that IT pros and business executives need to understand when it comes to a technology play.
Yes. And once that data is stored and you have the control, you have all the security measures in place, how do I ensure that there's no breach on the other side down the line? So I've taken, in good faith, for you to keep my details for vacuum cleaner communication. I want to ensure that a competitor does not get hold of that. I want to ensure that the refrigerator man doesn't get hold of that to send me more communication that I have not agreed to from a negotiation or from a contract perspective with you as the person selling me vacuum cleaners. So all of a sudden we're starting to move from this privacy of data to the control thereof to the responsibilities that the IT pro, the business, the executives might have to take into place to ensure that that whole flow subscribes to the legislation of the country that you're bound by or have a view of. And I know there's some general laws that are out there around the big locations, the US, the EU. You mentioned a little bit about South Africa a few minutes ago. Is there a big change? Have you seen a big change around those big locations around the world, their legal systems changing to adapt to this public cloud? Are you seeing a move around people saying, well, we need to review how data is stored outside of the traditional lock and key and safe to now being stored at large data centers around the world? Have you seen the laws being molded to adapt to that?
Absolutely, and that actually brings in the final condition that we need in this space, which is that ultimately personal data can't be transferred from one country or territory without an evaluation as to whether or not the final resting place of that data, the other country, the second or third country, also has similar adequate measures adequate or similar laws in place to protect it. So, yeah, we definitely are starting to see big changes when it comes to privacy laws. At present, the European Union is probably setting the standard and a very, very high benchmark when it comes to these laws around protecting my personal and private information.
And I think this has given us a good view now. Module one, we've understood the components from a privacy perspective. Module two, we are understanding more around the data protection, the legislation that's required from the content that we're storing, so personal information. So before we summarize, anything else you'd like to add around this, or has that given us a good view around data protection legislation?
I think it gives us a fairly good view. I think in closing, one of the most important things that I can remark on is the fact that ultimately any person is still going to have to look at their local legislation, probably talk to an attorney or a local lawyer, just to get a full understanding and interpretation of what is ultimately required. Please remember that what we've set out over here is still very general, it's very broad, it's very likely to resonate with any local privacy legislation or data protection legislation, but this module ultimately just sets a very, very high average discussion point. It doesn't drill into some of the detailed interpretation that people will have to look at locally.
I think that's what's important around this course, is that we are setting the foundation in place, we're making you aware of what you should consider, and then take it a step further and understand locally what should you abide by, what are the implications if there are breaches, if there's loss of control of data. But this module gives us a nice view of personal information being at the heart of this data protection legislation. Once you understand that personal information, once you understand what personal information you do keep or you do collect from your customers, your users, your subscribers, how should I control that? And going forward, what measures do I need to constantly put in place or review to ensure that I'm not having any breaches around this personal information being lost? And then taking that understanding locally in your country, your region, your location, what laws do I need to abide by? So this has given us a nice kind of view of data protection legislation. Gives us an understanding of the pieces that make it up and what we should look at. And hopefully you as a viewer of this module will get a view of, I need to go away and do a bit of further reading, understanding, what am I bound by as an IT professional? And hopefully relay that back to the business, to the executives, to understand what should they be abiding by or understand of what should they store out in the public cloud as a view. So that will kind of wrap up module two for us. We've understood privacy. We know the history of privacy, control it plays. Now we understand the personal information and we apply that back to the privacy and control around that personal information. Now we start to move forward and build on this example that Theo gave us now around, I'm storing data in a data center. It might not be mine, it might be a public cloud provider's. What measures do I need to put in place to ensure privacy is kept, there is control, and what security measures do I need to understand going forward, and what are the issues that we need to cater for? So thank you for joining us in module two, and now we'll go forward and look at module three around privacy versus security.